But if someone dies of hunger and opens his eyes in the other world, he is content even if this world does not have these comforts and does not know how to offer him. But it is still a better world for him, because in this new world he does not have to suffer hunger, he does not have to endure pain, he no longer has the problems he had as a human being. So it is man's task to strive upwards. Much greater demands are made of those who have returned home today than in my time. Because we had nothing, we already lived in poverty and great modesty and have already contributed to a part of the purification in human life through our poverty. People in today's world can rarely earn a part of the purification in human life, because they do not know the path of purification that they must go through. They want to take the beautiful and comfortable path. And when those of today return home, greater demands are made of them. The ascent is not made so easy for them. They must work more in the spiritual realm in a spiritual sense until they are allowed to ascend a level more than those who die of hunger. They will be comforted, the gates of the kingdom of heaven will be opened to them, and they will be given help to ascend. Greater demands are placed on those who have lived in abundance, and the gates will not be opened in the same way, because they had a better life. They had experienced so much in their world that should have aroused their admiration, so that they should have investigated the question of where all this came from, of the strength and the possibility to do so. And because this is not done or is done little, the demands are greater. That is my task, dear brothers and sisters, that I had to fulfill, to tell you, and that you should not be disappointed if the world you will one day enter does not offer as many comforts and beauties as your current world. Think about it, you can experience wonderful music, you can experience the beautiful arts as you wish here in your world. In my time that was only a thing for fine people. But how much greater is the admiration of those who in poverty and modesty leave the world T and are now able to experience what they had to do without in their human existence. You don't have to do without, you can experience the fine arts. Whether you will experience them in the kingdom of heaven is another question. So, dear brothers and sisters, I have said enough. I am returning to my world and am once again ready to offer my service and care to someone returning home. And I will tell the next person that I was here and that I was able to address such words to people. But not everyone believes, not everyone who is here believes. All the greater the amazement when the time comes. Greetings from God. End of recording. Edition from the first publication in the magazine Geistige Welt. In response to a question concerning the various prospects for the afterlife, spirit teacher Joseph replied, "You have already been told that those who have lived in poverty, distress and ignorance are received very differently in the afterlife, that they are treated with much more love and that many things about them are overlooked. As this spirit sister Threesil explained to you, they have already completed part of their path of purification in human life, and this is credited to them accordingly. If you think carefully about the Bible, you will find the right answer in it. Depending on the circumstances, greater demands are made of people today. This does not mean that efforts are not made for them when they return home. They are also shown the path to their ascent. But today they have a completely different knowledge. And these souls, when they return to spiritual life, carry this knowledge within themselves. So it is not the case that one loses the knowledge that one has acquired in human life through death. But if one has used one's knowledge to the detriment of one's fellow human beings, this knowledge is temporarily, we cannot say taken away, locked in the soul in the divine world, and only at a later point in time, when the purification has progressed sufficiently, can this knowledge be returned to one. So nothing that one has acquired in human life is lost. This is then paired with new spiritual insights. It must also be said that when one has to enter a new earthly life again, these abilities and this knowledge are locked in the soul. But if there is reason to do so, they can be brought out again in greater measure. Experience report of the ascending spirit being Threesil and questions answered by spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Template, tape recording and first publication in the magazine Geistige Welt. Headline, next case. June 1, 1966. Wonder, a spiritual bond between two siblings. Help and sacrifice for the backward brother. Control spirit. God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, a spirit sister named Wanda is speaking to you. May God give you the blessing and the strength to hear and understand everything correctly. God bless you. Wanda, God bless you. My dears, I will try to tell you briefly about my last human life and my subsequent tasks in the world beyond. My name is Wanda. I had 9 siblings and our parents died early. I was the eldest and had to look after my siblings. One of my brothers was called Alberto. He was a scoundrel, equals thief, black sheep. Over time, all my siblings had left home, only Alberto and I remained behind. Alberto took it for granted that I would take care of him, and so I had to work for him. I had accepted any work that was offered to me. Alberto had worked occasionally, but he was a cause for much annoyance. People were not happy with him because he was not hardworking, he did not like to work, and he was not always honest. We had a lot of trouble with him, but I felt a very strong bond with him, and I remained single. So I had always tried to be particularly supportive of this brother. It was generally customary for us to help and support one another, but this Alberto had caused all of the siblings. I do not want to tell you more about my human life, but I want to tell you about my subsequent life in the world beyond particular worries. When I entered the spiritual world, some of my siblings were already in the spiritual realm. My brother Alberto was still living on Earth at the time. My deceased siblings, my parents and many of my acquaintances greeted me when I entered the spirit world. My parents thanked me for always standing up for Alberto and caring for him, and they also told me that I would be rewarded for this. And truly, I did receive so much reward that I hadn't really expected. The meeting with my siblings and my parents didn't last long. They all seemed to be in a hurry and didn't spend much time greeting me, they all acted as if they had a lot to do. I didn't want to force myself on them either, because I had to adapt to this new world first. But my spiritual guides, these angels who had welcomed me, were very loving and kind. I told them that I would actually have preferred it if my brother Alberto had died before me, because now he would be completely lost in this earthly world. Then these guides explained to me that it wouldn't be too long before Alberto would also return home. As a result, I did what I could for my brother Alberto from the spiritual realm. I went to see him and tried to support him and help him as best I could. But I couldn't give him much, because as a human he didn't sense me and he didn't listen to me. When the time came and he too died, I, as well as all my siblings and my parents, were able to greet him on his return home. He stood by me and didn't want to leave my side. He said to me, "Wanda, don't leave me, because you are my support. You were my support on Earth. Now I'm afraid of everything that's going to happen. I can only hope in you, because you were always good, you were pious and just. And so I assume that I can go with your grace or share in the grace that you receive. I want you to stand by my side." But I had to look at the higher spirit beings present, who now explained that it was not my task to take care of this brother who had returned home. First and foremost, they would, however, allow me to take care of him. My parents, my other siblings and acquaintances then had to say goodbye to my brother Alberto, and only I was allowed to stand by him temporarily. I was to listen to what was being said to him. An angel came up to Alberto and said, "You have not lived your life to our satisfaction. You have done so much wrong. You were dishonest and you were lazy. Because of your life on earth, you have taken a burden with you into the afterlife, and you will do well to hold on to your helpful sister, because she can truly be a support to you. Despite my support, he should have to go through his purification and do the work assigned to him." The higher spirit beings said to Alberto, "As a human being, you had not learned a trade or practiced a profession. But you had worked here and there, staying in one place or another for a little longer. Here you must now make up for what you missed in your human life. You had no diligence and no perseverance. Now in the new world you must prove diligence and perseverance, and you must learn a trade. They told Alberto which manual work might be suitable for him. He looked disappointed. He did not want to learn a trade. He could neither read nor write. He had not learned to do it in human life, and he was not willing to do regular work and do it conscientiously. I knew my brother and I knew that this would be difficult for him. But the higher siblings insisted and said to him, "There is no other way. You can choose what you want to learn here. You must learn a trade. You can choose to be a carpenter, a shoemaker, a painter or a gardener. What do you want?" Nothing. He did not like any of these jobs. He did not want anything. But these angels told him that it was no use resisting, because even in the kingdom of heaven people work. Hearing this disappointed him greatly, because he believed that nobody had to work in the kingdom of heaven. He was indignant that this was being asked of him. He simply could not understand it, and he replied to the angels, "But that is not necessary. You do not need to practice a trade in this world. Everything is there. God can create everything with a word. I cannot understand why I should learn a trade." Now I had been allowed to talk to my brother. I was supposed to persuade him to choose one of these trades. I said to him, "Alberto, look at what you look like." He was wearing shoes, but very bad and dirty, with holes, and he was also wearing dirty clothes, a very dirty coat. So I pointed it out to him and said, "Now look at your shoes and your coat. Everything is so dirty. You can't be dressed like that in the kingdom of heaven. You have to get better clothes, but you don't get these clothes for free. You have to earn them." When he looked at himself, he saw that he was still wearing the same shoes that he had worn at the end of his human life. He was also still wearing the old coat that he had worn at the end of his earthly life. It was the same with everything that he wore on his spiritual body. He was astonished, and then he looked at me and said, "Why are you wearing a different garment than before? You are not wearing the same apron that you wore in life. Why are you wearing such a fine coat? You don't have the same shoes anymore. You have very nice shoes. Where did you get them from?" "Yes, I earned them," I said to him. And he replied, "But they were given to you, and where you got your shoes from, I can probably get shoes and a coat for me too." I replied, "That is not possible, because you have taken everything with you from the earth, and you have also taken your shoes and your clothes with you." He could not understand why he looked the same as he did when he was alive as a human, and yet he knew that his earthly body had been given back to the earth and that he therefore had a spiritual body. He was dressed in spiritual clothes, but they were the same clothes that he had worn in his human life. I had to explain to him that because of his naughty and bad life that he had led, everything heavy had gone with him, including these clothes that he was now wearing and that were now present on his spiritual body in the form of spiritual material. These clothes that he had taken on would only dissolve when he had made some progress in his thinking and had become more industrious and obedient. Then he would also get different shoes and a completely different appearance. No matter how much I spoke to him, he couldn't understand it, and he always asked me, "Get me a pair of other shoes. You're surely able to. Get me a clean coat from somewhere, you have the opportunity to do that." And I had to say to him, "I'm not allowed to do that, you have to work for it yourself now. And the first thing you have to do is this, you have to go through the purification now. If you have changed your thinking a little and have only recognized a few of the things you have done wrong, then you will definitely get better shoes and a better coat too." That's how I talked to him. I had to discuss with him what work he wanted to do now. He didn't like anything. So I pointed out the following to him: "You have helped out in the fields now and then, and you have worked in gardens. So you can at least decide to work here in our spiritual gardens too." "Good," he said, "then I will do it." So he decided to pursue the profession of gardener in the spiritual realm. I then communicated his wish to the angels and asked them to show consideration for my unfortunate brother. I did not live with him, but was allowed to go down from my house, from my sphere, to my brother and stay with him and guide him. At times, however, I had to leave him because I had to return to my own house and devote myself to my tasks. However, I had expressed the request that I be allowed to take special care of my brother, and this request was granted. It became my actual main task. Whenever I visited him, my brother asked me, "Stay with me, you must not leave me. We were always together before, so please stand by me here too and always tell me what I have to do." I wanted to tell him what he had to do, but he didn't obey me either. First, Alberto took on this work as a gardener. He was led to a large field where he was to work together with other brothers and sisters. I was with him at times and encouraged him to work hard, that went on for a while. After the work was done, they returned to the house where he lived. There was no peace and quiet. However, the lessons began. They were taught about the divine laws, but not only that. My brother didn't really understand it yet. He listened, but he wasn't able to think it all through and follow it. But now he still had to learn a lot about his trade. Spiritual teachers came for this purpose, and they taught not only my brother, but everyone who did the same work as him. Spiritual laws apply in the spiritual realm, and these laws must also be followed in God's gardens. So it was a real school for my brother. He had to and should so much to learn. However, learning was very difficult for him, because he also had to learn to read and write, which he had not learned in human life. I personally had made a bit of an effort in human life to learn to read and write the most basic things. In the spiritual world, I was also taught further in this regard. So my brother had to learn to read and write too, and that was already a big task for him. It was not enough to just tell and draw things in class, because you had to do the work according to these spiritual laws. So my brother had to attend two schools. On the one hand, the one that is intended for all spirit beings who have returned home and in which they are taught about spiritual laws, about the meaning of the human life that has been lived and about the plan of salvation and redemption. There is so much that awaits you there and that you have to learn. So my brother also had to go through this class. On the other hand, he also had to attend classes that gave him additional knowledge for his professional activities. All of this was a bit much for my brother. I knew it. I encouraged him and helped him to solve these tasks. I did the tasks together with him and encouraged him, but it didn't help. He said to me, "You can see that I don't understand. I can't keep up with everything that is being explained and told. I just can't, and I just don't like it. I don't want to work like this. I can't do it." And I said, "You have to." But he replied, "I can't. I would prefer to go back to where we came from, to our village. That's where I want to go. I want to be completely happy there. But I can't handle all these tasks." I talked to him so much, but it didn't help. It was his wish. He just wanted to go back to the village where we had lived as people. Well, I couldn't do anything about it. I had already told these higher spirits, "My brother is not obedient. He doesn't have the strength to understand everything and he wants to avoid this work." Then they said to me, "Let him go. Let's give him time. He should go, but you should go to him occasionally." So I had to take care of my brother. I was sad that he was returning to the village and to the people, because he couldn't work on his spiritual progress that way. Moreover, I had to see that my brother had been granted a great grace, because he had not yet been punished for the misdeeds he had committed as a human being. I believed that the schools he would have had to attend would have been a punishment for him. I only saw and praised the great grace and indulgence that was now being given to my brother in God's world, because I knew what a terrible life he had had behind him. And so I thought he should have been grateful that he had been accommodated so much and given the opportunity to work his way forward. But my warnings didn't help either, and so I just let him go. I followed him, however, and was mostly close to him, because I was helping for the moment when I could convince him that it would be better if he passed over into the spiritual realm again. What did he do when he went to the village where we had lived as people? First, he visited all his former acquaintances and followed them. But none of these people noticed or saw my brother Alberto as he followed them and spoke to them. When he then noticed that no one was paying him any attention, He looked for a sunny spot, lay down there and just wanted to rest and take a siesta. He was happy to see the people and felt the lovely warmth of the sun. So he was happy. But his happiness did not last long, because he always had the feeling that people could see him and that they would avoid him if they approached him. But nobody saw him, because he was a spirit. Now young people came and trampled over my brother Alberto. They went back again, walked back and forth and trampled on my brother on his spiritual body. He was lying on the earthly ground and people could penetrate the spiritual, they walked over the spiritual. They did not see my brother, they did not see us. Now my brother began to curse and lament that the young people were walking around on him, they could take a different path. But no matter how much he shouted, they did not hear him. He ran after them, cursed and mocked, but it did not help. I then went after my brother and pointed out to him the useless life that he had now returned to Earth. It was completely useless to wander around there as a ghost, he wouldn't get anywhere that way. But he said, "I'm not alone. Look at the many others who are there too. They lie in the sun too, and nobody scolds them. Why don't I have the right to do that? The others do it too." I had to point out to him the uselessness of their activities, but my brother didn't listen to me. Then he said, "Well, if you won't even allow that, fine, then I'll go and see who all goes to church." It was Sunday, it seemed to us, because people were getting up and going to church. I followed my brother to keep an eye on him and to point out to him when he was doing something wrong and when it was necessary to intervene. He went into the church and knelt down at the front of the altar, where people were also kneeling. I stood behind him and said, "You know, they pray for the poor souls. And the prayer they say is supposed to free the poor souls and lead them to the kingdom of heaven." He replied, "Well, I want a prayer like that now. Then I want to go to the kingdom of heaven too. But I don't want to go where I was led. I want to be where you are and I don't want to work. I want to live like the angels of God live. And I want the prayer for the poor souls now, because it belongs to me. They pray for the poor souls." I had to say to him, "Yes, they pray for the poor souls so that they can find relief and bear their lot better." He did not agree with my words, but replied, "No, if you pray for the poor souls, they will be saved. You should know that very well. If people say so many prayers, the poor souls will be freed and redeemed from their torments and their unpleasant lives. I will now just wait until I am redeemed." I had to say to him, "All of this will not help you, Alberto. They are not just praying for you alone. You certainly don't hear anyone praying for Alberto. But they are praying together for the poor souls. They are praying together so that they can find relief and comfort. And you will find comfort. I am giving you comfort. Be grateful for that. I am showing you the way." He said, "No, you are not giving me any comfort. You are only my sister." He took my support for granted. Then I said, "Fine, I will leave you here. I will come back to you. I will look after you again." But I only moved a little way away from him so that I could always watch him. And so I then had to realize that he was not particularly serious about taking these prayers, but went straight out into the village and into the inn with the people who had left the church, sat down there and took an interest in the conversations that were taking place there. He began to laugh with the people and to take an interest in everything that was being said. I was very close and got the feeling that he was not a ghost, but almost like a human being. But they didn't notice this Alberto. He simply influenced these people and lived off the power that they exuded. Then I had to reprimand him and say to him, "You must now leave this place. This is no place for you, because you wanted to stay in the church." He replied, "You yourself said that prayer is of no use." So I just left the church. And so I had to point out to him, "It would be better if you came back and carried out the task you had been assigned." But it was not possible. I could not persuade him to do so. He did not want to return. And so I had to give him free will. And now he was here and now there. But then, when he tried again to choose a sunny spot and sit down to watch what was going on, a higher spirit suddenly appeared. It floated past me and I suspected that it would approach my brother. And so it did. This spirit approached my brother and said to him, "It is better if you leave this place now and return to your work." My brother was astonished, because at first he thought that it was me who was reprimanding him. But this spirit influenced my brother so energetically that he could not contradict him. But you could see his thoughts, and they were as follows: "Okay, I'll go, but I know the way. I can go back if it gets too much for me." And so he went and returned to his work in the spiritual world. So he was put back in line. He had to go back to his work in the fields and in the schools. Nobody took offense at his absence in the meantime. When he noticed that no one reproached him, he made up his mind to go back to the village. "They don't miss me here, no one asks about me," he thought. When no one took any special notice of him, he thought he was simply superfluous and left the place again. I admonished him and said to him, "You are being tested for your obedience. Believe me, it is a strict angel who has reprimanded you and you are disobedient. If you are disobedient, then the punishment will come. Believe me. Don't go back again." But it was no use. I knew my brother Alberto and knew that he was still the same as before. And so he went back to the village. I followed him. But I didn't go directly to him, I just watched him. Because I suspected that a spirit of God or the same spirit of God would come to get him again. And so it was. This spirit of God came and did not say a word to him. He just stood in front of him and looked at him sharply, and my brother went back to his house in the world beyond. From his house he had to go to school again and do his work in the fields. But this time it was different from the first time. This time he was reproached. When he came into the house he was received reproachfully, and when he went to school the teachers reproached him. Even when he went to the fields, spiritual teachers came and warned him. They said to him reproachfully, "If you leave this place again you will be banished to a place that will be very unpleasant for you, and you will have even more to learn than you have to learn here." These words made a greater impression on him than the comforting words I had given him. And so I begged him, "Stay, be obedient, try hard. I want to help you." So I tried to solve the tasks with him. My brother promised me not to return. And he promised to be very diligent and obedient, because he had overheard a conversation between other brothers and sisters who had done the same thing as him and who had not fared well when they left their work. They said that they had now been through a severe punishment, that they had even gone through purgatory, and that they would recommend that everyone be obedient. That made a certain impression on my brother, and of course I also said, "You must never leave this place again, because I would be very sad if you really had to go to purgatory." My brother simply understood this purgatory as something painful that he would have to experience, perhaps even living in fire or always being in water. He imagined something like that. And now he submitted. It took a lot of effort for my brother to get to that point and start to learn and obey. When he had now decided to do it and stood up with all his strength to learn and obey, he also noticed that he was no longer wearing such dirty shoes. They were the same shoes that he had worn when he entered the world beyond, but they had become so transparent, just like his clothes. Everything was so transparent. There was still dirt on his clothes and shoes, but he had the feeling that it would all dissolve very soon. This frightened him and he asked, "Where can I get new shoes and where can I get a new coat? Because everything has become so thin that it is no longer wearable." I myself had been taught this and was now able to teach my brother, "You see, with your diligence and your obedience you have released from the earthly world what bound you to it. The weight that clung to your soul and to your thoughts has been released and is becoming more and more released. Because all this heavy spiritual matter in this bad state has only come about through your thoughts being bound to the life you left behind and the misdeeds you committed. Now you have separated yourself from this life, and so your heavy shoes and your dirty clothes are also separating from you." And so it was. A spirit of God came to us because I was still able to look after my brother, and he said to me, "I will show you the way. You can get shoes for your brother. You can also get a proper coat and the necessary clothes for him. I was taken to a workshop where these shoes were made and they gave me a pair for my brother. They were not yet so fine, but they were beautiful compared to the shoes he was wearing now. The clothes were also neat, they were not dirty and not torn, but they looked good.